Hello, and welcome back to the Moms Get It Done podcast. I'm Leslie Osborne. I'm an extremely busy mom of two. I have a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. And today on the show, actually last week, we had my friend Cherie Buckman on the show, and we were talking about what she does. And she's a healer and a certified spiritual healer. And then we ended the conversation and we kept talking on the Zoom, and we were talking about something that I think is so important. And it's about control. And being somebody that likes to get things done, I love to be in control. I love having control of our schedule with what my kid's doing, what are you wearing, where are you going, like that kind of thing. So it's very natural for me to want to jump in there. So I did an episode a few weeks ago with Allie Long about control, and it was about letting go of control of things so that you have time for yourself. So that's definitely valid. So if you haven't heard that one, definitely listen to that one. But this is a different kind of control. So Cherie and I started talking about how the kids were doing, because our kids are friends and they're about the same age. And we started to talk about how we want to control their upbringing. And it's really easy to micromanage, and about how maybe that's not always the best. So welcome, Cherie. It's good to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
I know, I'm so excited to have this conversation. So I think how it started was, I started talking about something that happened to my daughter on the bus. So Olive is on the bus, she's 7 years old, and she's on the bus with this girl in our neighborhood who is her friend, and I'm friends with her mom. Mm-hmm. And they started to sort of get in little fights. Like they started to push each other and they wanted to sit on the outside, and then one pushed the other and one started crying, Olive started crying, then they were calling each other names, like that kind of thing. And Olive would come off the bus and she'd be really upset. And I'm like, of course, my first mommy instinct is to be like, oh my gosh, she's being bullied and I need to fix it. So I reach out to her mother, and her mother and I thankfully are friends, and we get on the phone and we realize that yes, we should talk to our daughters about their behavior, and we need to let them work it out. And this was so hard for me. Like, I wanted to sit them both down, go through the rules, like do all the things. So when Cherie and I started talking about it, it really made me realize that that wasn't the thing that Olive needed, like that she needed to be able to fix her own stuff. So Cherie, have you had one of these experiences with your kids where you wanted to like fix it and you realized that it wasn't, that you shouldn't?
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. I'm about to open up a whole other can of worms with all of that and what you just said. So, okay. So I have also two sides of this, because not only am I, you know, a medium and spiritual healer and all of that, and can see things from another avenue, but also my previous background was as a social worker. So I used to go around and in schools and teach anti-bullying things, you know, and an understanding and development and children who've gone through a lot of things and why they are the way they are or the way they act. So, you know, one thing when it comes to our children, I have definitely had the fear before, especially with my son, who is, you know, a little socially awkward, you know, very different than me. I'm the social bubbly one who can talk to absolutely anybody. And don't get me wrong, my son is too, but, you know, he comes off a little strong sometimes for some people. And so I've always had that fear, like, how are other people going to react to him, especially when he started school? Yeah, it was huge. And it was always that huge fear, like, oh, the moment I hear someone picking on my boy, I'm going to get like all irate and, oh, my baby, stop picking on my baby. However, there is another understanding too, that, you know, he is the way he is for a reason, you know, that the experiences that he's going to go through is for a reason. Yeah. And I went back to my own personal childhood, you know, I was always the new girl, you know, I counted at one point 13 schools by my sophomore year in high school.
Oh my gosh.
So that's more than one a year. So I'd been through tons. So I was always a new girl. So always trying to make friends. But along with that too, I was an easy target because I was also a little chubby. I had red hair, you know, couldn't manage it well, very frizzy, freckles, you know, the whole works. So I was an easy target and I was bullied pretty much all of my childhood. However, you know, with that, that's why I'm comparing the two, because in my experience of what I went through, it made me who I am today. Yeah. And the thing is that I can see on the other side of things where, you know, I have that empathy and I have, I know that what I went through, it made me stronger.
What you went through, it made you stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and it also created, and everything that I went through, including the bullying and the hardships that I went through, it also led me down the path that I went down and currently am. You know, it was the reason that I got into social work, because it wasn't just the bullying in general. It was all of the out of control situations that I was put in as a child, meaning, you know, family dynamics, you know, yeah. You know, the change and the moves and, you know, the way that I was treated by certain people and, you know, everything as a whole that led me down the path to want to help other children and go into social work or being able to work with kids or for kids. And then, you know, that gave me the experience of what I did then, the education. I have a degree in human services. And it gave me further education and experience to do what I'm doing now. Yeah. To get deeper understanding of people down at the soul level, that everything we go through is for that bigger reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. I probably totally twist and turn down that path.
No,
and that
I think it's a good point, right? So did your parents try to like jump in and help in any of these situations, or was it just something you dealt with and that was it?
For me personally, this is something I did by myself.
Okay.
And so, you know what? That is really, now that you point that out,
did you tell your parents?
Well, you know what? I probably did, or maybe didn't. So I was raised by a single mother who worked really, really hard. I mean, just to make ends meet. So I was with a lot of sitters and stuff like that. So if I did, you know, my mom was also exhausted and did what she could. And so honestly, I just learned to deal with everything on my own.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I kind of turned inward, which wound up being a positive thing because I was able, you know, now that I can look back and put all these pieces together, knowing who I am and what I can do, I was definitely able to see past and going the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that their words, even though they did hurt, and I didn't really understand why they would say certain things, because I knew I was a new girl. They did not know me. They yeah. didn't know me, but all of a sudden they're coming and picking on me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I did learn to do that by myself.
Yeah. I think there's something else to note here. You know, the world is different now than when we were younger. Like I'm 41. Mm-hmm. And when I grew up, you know, in the 80s, between 0 and 10, when this starts happening in your life, right? Like in elementary school, yeah. There wasn't so much awareness of people picking on each other and how much that really affects you. Like now, even at Olive School now, they have this thing called, I think it's called the Kindness Project. And it's about like their tagline is like, other people matter. And it's mm-hmm. about how you treat each other and stuff like that. And we didn't have that. Like we had like DARE. Yeah. Like, don't do drugs, which is a very good lesson. And we didn't have that. Like, it wasn't this awareness that we have now. So like, not only are the kids aware of it, but the parents are much more aware of it. So when you hear something like this, obviously your mama bear wants to like jump out and fix the situation, right? But what this other mom said to me was, I think this is a really big learning lesson for them. And I was like, holy crap, it is. Like, I really have to talk yeah. to her about, well, so this is what I did. I sat down and talked to her, and this did happen earlier in her life too. Like in kindergarten, somebody was being mean to her. And at first, the biggest part of what I thought was, I can't believe this is happening so early. But then I sort of flipped it and I was like, you know what? Like, it's okay that it's happening early, because now we can teach her how to deal with this sooner, mm-hmm. right? Like we can teach her that people that say things like that to her, first of all, 9 times out of 10 has nothing to do with you. Like they're just projecting insecurities or something like that. The other thing is that you can choose how you feel about
absolutely.
It. You know, you can choose if you are upset about it. I mean, she still doesn't quite understand that part, but if you start using those words early, like you can choose if you're upset by somebody yelling at you, right? Or somebody saying something silly, stupid to you. Like, you know, a boy is being mean to her at school. And she's like, I'm like, what do you do? And she goes, I scream at him. And I'm like, well, you're giving him exactly what he wants, which is attention. And so, you know, my parents used to say, just ignore them. And I'm like, what? Like, just ignore somebody that's being mean to me. Like, I never got it. But like, now I'm trying to teach her, even if she doesn't get it at first, because she's only seven, right? Like, she's not going to like be self-realized at 7 years old. But I think just having her know these things and like repeating them over and over, right? It takes a few times to learn something. So right now is like a pivotal time for her to like really, you know, hear these things, start to make it part of her vocabulary. Like, wait a minute, I can choose how I feel, not them, which is huge. So again, she's not there yet, but
yes.
Yeah.
I truly love what you just said, because the key word that you just said was choice. Mm-hmm. This is huge. And this is something, this is actually one thing that I teach clients too, not just clients, but even my children and everything else. Everything is a choice. You know, yeah. No matter what you're handed, that how you react to absolutely everything is a choice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, do you choose to be the victim, or do you choose to stand up for yourself? Do you choose to ignore it? Do you choose it? And it is, because even though someone else's words, I mean, they can hurt, and they can hurt deep, but do you allow them to have that power? And that's the big thing, you know, even for children. And I've tried to explain this now on a child's level, you know, for instance, with my son, I have explained to him, because I want him to have that awareness of, even if something is not happening directly to him, you know, awareness of the people around him, his friends, that he can stand up for other people.
Right.
So, you know, I've explained to him, and this is the truth too, that most bullies are bullied themselves, or they're lacking control in their life, that word control. Mm-hmm. And so they exert it in a way where they feel control, which is, you know, even if it is to hurt somebody else or whatever that is, they're trying to regain that control, because maybe they're being hurt, or, you know, they're not given choices and things like that. And this is kind of like that domino effect of how that works. When you know, someone isn't given a choice, you know, and they're not given any control whatsoever, they're going to do it in one way or another. So, you know, I've told him to be aware of that. And, you know, sometimes a bully themselves, or what you would call a bully, or, you know, someone is being mean, sometimes they just need kindness to understand that, you know, instead of doing it that way, or they haven't received kindness in that way, you need to go and be kind to them, because maybe they're hurting because nobody wants to play with them,
right,
or, you know, something like that. And so the things that he has come home and said have shocked me in the most beautiful ways. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So he stands up for his friends, and he notices these things. So
yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's funny that you said that, like, the other kid, you know, might not have control in their lives, so they're exerting it where they can. My daughter actually does this at home, where I am an overscheduler. I have a lot of things planned, and I want things to be a certain way and go at certain times. And we have a lot going on. And, you know, when she doesn't have free time or time to choose or choices, she acts out. And we were talking to the psychologist once, because she has ADD and it's hard to deal sometimes, but she will like be defiant. And it's because she can't control anything. And my husband is actually really good at like recognizing it and being like, this is the thing she's trying to control, Leslie. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And I like step back, or, you know, even letting her like pick out her own clothes, even though they don't match, or like something, like me letting go of that control is hard. So her having the control makes her feel more empowered, and it gives her more. And I'm just now starting to really get that. Like, you know, this could have been happening for years, you know, which it probably has been. And just me being aware of it now, you know, and don't get me wrong, like I'm not always aware of it, but, you know, Jeff's actually really good at like saying that. So that's good. So it's funny because, you know, when we were younger, my mom used to be like, okay, go outside and play. I'll see you later. Like when I was 8 years old and we just go out and ride our bikes, she'd be like, come home at lunch. I'm like, okay. But I think in our society now, there's this whole, and not everybody's like this, but there's a lot of like helicopter parenting. And sometimes even my husband will like make the helicopter sound when I'm doing something. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, stop it. You're like micromanaging, like a helicopter parent, like get away from them. And I'm like, what do you mean? We're just trying to like blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, 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 no. Like you need to back off and like give them some space. So in this same sense, they need time for themselves. Like they need more time to get ready. They need free time to do whatever they want. Like they have to have downtime. And I read this article like two or three summers ago, and I was scared like of having my kids home for the whole summer. Like, what the heck am I going to do with them all day? And they're like, you have to let them like get bored because it like brings out creativity. Like mm-hmm. Now they're starting to do that thing where they come in, they're like, mom, I'm bored. And I'm like, first of all, it drives me insane. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? You have like 10,000 toys. And I'm like, okay, go play with something. And they're like, but what? And I'm like, but then if you kind of give them a few minutes, it starts to happen, right? Like they start to build something, or they made robots out of cardboard the other day. Like, I don't think of that. I would never think of doing that. Like they thought of doing that. And then they put it together and they needed materials. And it was really quite amazing, because if I let go of that micromanagement, like this is what you should be doing. Why don't you play this letter game? Like, why don't you, I don't know what, but something, you know, something educational, this letting go of it is a big deal. So yeah. Do you find that your kids do this too?
Yes. So my son very particularly does that a lot, because he wants to watch TV. He wants to be electronic involved. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I put limits on that, because otherwise he'll get sucked in, because he doesn't take breaks. However, my daughter, who is, how old is she? She's 4. Sorry. She talks about being 5 all the time. So I have to really
think about that. Like, so we don't know.
Oh, no, child. Your birthday is not for months. Anyway, you know, she's easy. She'll watch, you know, one show and then walk away, and she just plays and plays and plays and plays. My yeah. son is different. So I'll tell him, no, no electronics. You need to go do something. But mom, I'm bored. He asking me, just like you, what do I do? I'm like, well, how about a chore? And that's what I do. And I'm like, and I list a chore, and he goes, no. And guess what? He finds something to do.
I should do that. Like adding in a chore, being like, cool, go make your bed. And she'd be like, no, I think I'm going to do art instead.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, but sometimes he'll do the chore. So I'm like, you know what? Your room needs to be cleaned. And he'll sit there and think about it. And then he'll go up there. Mom, I cleaned my room. And I'm like, that's amazing. And like, and then all of a sudden he'd been up there an hour. He could have been playing also, but eventually he'll get to it. But I just mean, and I'm like, okay, well now, you know, it's been a few hours, you've earned, you know, here, go watch a show or whatever. So yeah. It's kind of interesting that way.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting that way. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really want to, if you don't mind, I want to go backwards to something you said, the whole learning and life lessons thing. Mm-hmm. You said a friend told you that was me, because that was part of our last conversation.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Our last conversation, I think that's actually where our conversation started at, after the last podcast.
Because
it's this big experience and understanding that everything we go through is a lesson. Yeah. So everything we go through, even, you know, the children, our children and everything else, no matter how hard something seems, a situation, an event, a loss, you know, whatever it is, it's important to try to pull yourself out. And really try to see the bigger picture in it. Sometimes it's hard when we're personally in it, but you know, take for example, you know, you can see a friend going through a difficult situation. You know, maybe they're in a rough relationship, and it's someone that they keep talking about how unhappy they are, or you know, things like that, where you know it's like, but you have the power to change that. Like, just leave. And obviously, you know, there's always a choice in every situation. There's always a choice. And it's not always easy, the right choice, because if you're so miserable in a situation, you can just change it. And it's with our children as they're going through, you know, their life stages and these difficult situations, you know, as I said, with everything that I went through, those were all for reasons.
Yeah.
I didn't know for what then. I just knew people were picking on me and it hurt my feelings. And I felt really lonely, you know, and I felt very, you know, unloved for a time. And not always, because I was very, very loved at home. So I had that balance. So that was really good. However, I can look back now and see all of it as these, but because of this happening, I learned this, or I was able to do this, and I was able to help other people going through situations. It really kicked up that empathy and that empathic part of myself, completely heightened, where I could really feel and understand what other people were going through.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think, you know, even I am not an empath, and I am not, you know, I don't have an ability like you do. And, you know, I can still see that, you know, mm-hmm. I can still, you know, understand that. And getting young children, I mean, teenagers, I think, are a little bit more aware, even though they have all these like crazy hormones and things that are happening, you know. But by the time they're teenagers, if you're saying like you can control your own emotions and how you react, and this will actually be worth something. I did actually bring up when Olive had this thing on the bus with her friend, I actually brought up what happened in kindergarten. I was like, remember when that little girl was mean to you in kindergarten? Like, what did we do then? Right. So like, if you do this over and over and over again, and it's not always about being mean, it's about somebody not doing what you want them to do. They're not playing the game you want them to play, you know, like all of these things, and they build upon each other to make you like a well-rounded human. Right. So right. Like, you know, they can't see that then, but you can. Remember your mom, like my mom used to always be like, you'll understand when you grow up. I'm 41. Oh. There's things I don't understand.
We're still learning every day. I know. Yeah. Every single moment.
My husband was showing me the news earlier and something horrible happened. And I was like, I don't understand this. Like, I just don't understand people sometimes. I just don't. And like, I think that's a lesson too. Like, sometimes you're not going to understand why they threw the rock at you. Sometimes you're not going to understand why they're crying, you know, and the only thing we can do is try to understand that they're going through that something we're not, right? Or we cannot understand.
Yeah. And that's one thing to look at it too, is that, you know, the people that surround you and the things you cannot comprehend or understand why people act the way they do. You know, this was always that common theme, you know, especially in the background of social work, like, I don't understand how parents can treat their children certain ways, or, you know, walk away. But you need to understand that they're all going through their own lessons. Yeah. There are different things that they're learning. There are different things they have not learned or been through like we did. They didn't come from families like we did that loved us, that supported us, you know, and they're learning in a very different way. Okay. So it's not for us to pass judgment on other people because of that. It's just to let it be, and just know that they are learning the way that they need to learn.
Exactly.
And, you know, and like you said too, that, you know, there's a cycle, and it reminded me of my son, where, you know, he's one ball of energy, like a ball of energy. And you know what? He's just now slowing down, and he'll be 8 next week. So he, certain things that he has reacted to, it can be very big, like bigger than it needs to be, really big reactions. And so now he'll be around other people that act that way. And he'll look at me like, Mom, why, what are they doing? Why are they acting that way? And it's that huge parenting moment. You're like, this is you, child. This is exactly how you react. And so for him to see it, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's like this reoccurring, those lessons that mirror each other, they go back and forth. It's like, but now he's learning and understanding that his reactions, that's what it looks like to other people. Yeah. And so now he takes that in and has processed that and like, okay. And then he'll start, and he'll have that same reaction again where he's acting that way. I'm like, you remember that one time you saw that one person? And he'll stop immediately, like, oh yeah, no.
Oh yeah. Oh, I lost my train of thought, but I had something. Oh, a couple of the things that I learned, you know, in all of my like parenting research and books I've read and podcasts I've listened to was, and this is the, like the hardest thing for me, is to shut my mouth, like listen to what they're saying instead of telling them. Mm-hmm. And really listen to like the words they're using. And it's very hard for me because I want to pull it all out of them. So I say things that I think they're thinking, but really I shouldn't be doing that, because then I'm just putting ideas in there and not their own ideas. Mm-hmm. So you need to let them speak. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds so simple, but it's not. Like, I want to control the situation. So I need to shut my mouth, mm-hmm. listen to her, let her babble on, because sometimes things come out where you're like, oh. In fact, my sister, this is so funny. My sister said, if you ever want to know what's going on in your children's life, put them in your car with a friend and drive, go somewhere, because they forget you're there and they start talking. And this happened, I don't remember what the kids were talking about. They were talking about something at school with this boy that was happening. At not anything horribly bad, but like something I didn't know about. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what? And she was like, oh, like totally forgot I was there. And was talking to her friend about this boy who was doing something ridiculous at school. And I was like, what? And you know, you find things out this way, right? So like listening to them, talking to themselves, to their siblings, like it's really a lot of it is listening. And it's hard for me to shut up. and listen. So I'm working on it.
We all have that problem sometimes, you know, and it's the same thing. They're trying to say something and they might like fumble around it, or it's this really long drawn out story and you kind of know what the ending is. And so you're trying to like say it so they'll end it. But sometimes you are, and it's exactly right. Sometimes if you stop and listen, you get that surprise ending you didn't expect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
So what else did we talk about when we were talking? I feel like we got through so much of it about control and letting them live their lives and learn the lessons and, you know, jumping in when you can, you know, jumping in when you need to. Or I think an important thing, and I've talked about this in the podcast a lot and in, you know, blogs and stuff, is about the language, like the choice language. You have a choice, you know, the words that you're using to help them get through it are big. You know, I have a choice. I'm in control of my own emotions and my own body and how I react. You know, one of the biggest things I'm trying to teach them, and actually I'm still learning this, is you don't have to react a certain way. Like, you're the one that gets to choose how you react, right? Yep. And it's hard for an adult. It's hard for me as a 41-year-old to do that, instead of, you know, getting really mad when something crazy happens or when they spill paint all over the new carpet or something, you know, but just understanding that they're kids and that they're going to spill things, you know, is, you know, you think of that later, but of course you like raise your voice and you go bananas, or I do anyway. So that's a lesson for them, but also for us, right?
Correct. So this is big too, because it brought up a couple of things too, because number one, it's expectations, the expectations we put on our children, and not just our children, on ourselves and everybody else around us. And that is part of control too, when you have these expectations, because now you're having them trying to live up to it, which creates a lot of anxiety and a lot of other things too, because now it's like that constantly is in their mind. Where if you just kind of let go of all of it and just let your child, it's like planting the seed. Your child is that seed and you want to plant it and you want to let it grow. But the more you try to control it, or, you know, you want it to grow a certain way, it winds up a little wonky. Like, it's not going to always go the way you want. Yeah. And too much, you know, it's like the smothering. You know, that probably sounds really awful right now. And I don't mean that like in the worst sense, but like the helicoptering, let's put it that way.
You know,
doing it that way. But if you just step back and let it kind of do its own thing, I'm talking about it as the plant is a metaphor, but even your child or any other person, or even yourself, if you just let go of all those expectations, and they are boundaries is what they are. If you let go of all of those boundaries and just do things, and you might experience things that you never could have even expected or even thought of. And it's even bigger and better than what that expectation was or is. Right. And so it may be, you know, maybe it's a family line where, you know, every, you know, man in the family has always been like a policeman or whatever it is, but your child is like, you know, showing different interests and these different things. And man, you could miss out on something even bigger.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to do or be something else. I'm not saying that everybody controls that, you know, whatever that is. I think that that was a lot in the older times too.
Yeah.
A different day. However, it's just an example of, you know, it's, man, it can be beautiful. And then as we're guiding our children along this path of life, you know, we do want them to learn their lessons, the lessons that are for them, because remember, we are different than they are, and they may need different lessons than we had, you know, as we were growing up or at their age.
Yeah.
You know, this is a different time and there are different situations, but with it, it's giving them sometimes, you know, options, you know, like when, you know, your daughter came up to you and was going through that situation, could be, you can give them, you know, options. You can take this path or this path, which one feels right to you. And it's letting them choose, make that choice. Kind of like at dinner time, to have my child eat vegetables.
Yeah.
It's not like, here, this is what for dinner. Ew, disgusting. I hate it. I give him a choice. Which one? You can have this one or this one. Which one do you want? And boy, if he gets to choose it, or either one of my children, if they get to choose it, they're going to eat it.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
Our choice. And the other thing too is, you know, like, for example, like with your daughter getting bullied, you know, it's sitting down and asking your child, you know, let's break down this picture. You know, why do you think your friend is doing that? Yeah. It really opens up, you know, your child, and really thinking outside of the action of what's happening into an underlying purpose on their own. too, before. I think what you did was beautiful. You talked to the parents and you allowed the girls to work it out.
Yeah. I mean, we both talked to them. Like, we are both like, hey, you can't hit people. Like, there's no hitting allowed. You're going to get thrown off the bus. You know, but, you know, obviously don't put your hands on people, but we talked to them about it. But like, we let them, we didn't put them down together. You know, I think the teacher said something to them too, because it has to come up that way, I guess. But like, they were in a fight for like a month, which is crazy. And then one day she comes home and she's like, hey, can we have blah, blah, blah over for a play date? And I was like, what? I thought you guys were in a fight. She's like, oh, we made up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. So I'm like texting the mom being like, oh my God, they like did it on their own. It's working. My parenting is working.
Like, I know, right?
You know, like you feel like so proud of it. And, you know, like you said before, they may surprise you. Like if you let them do it. So
you're right. Because there was just one example with my son, this was like a couple months ago, he came home from school and he was talking about this one girl being mean to him, actually pushed him. And he was asking to go play a game on the playground with her. And she was like, no, and like pushed him. And he was came home so upset. Like he was like, I am never going to talk to her again. And just so upset and like wanting to hold this big grudge. And I'm like, well, you know, and I sat down and talked to him, you know, let's try to understand maybe why would she have done that? And then like 2 days later, we decided to do this fun experiment on the way to school. So let's do a random act of kindness today. I said, I want you to just define somebody and make someone smile, make them happy today. You know, whatever it is. And there was, you know, no parameters. And I said, I want you, when I pick you up, you're going to tell me all about it.
Yeah.
He said, and in fact, I will do one too. And we will tell each other what we did. And so that whole day, I'm like, what am I going to do? I went to the grocery store, I found some flowers and I was like, you know what? I put the intention out there that, you know, and while I'm in car line picking up my son, whoever is parked in front of me is getting a bouquet of flowers today.
That's like, brilliant.
I know, I was so proud. And I'm like, oh, mine is awesome. I'm so happy to tell my son about it. And so I did, you know, this lady, of course, I'm in the mask and everything and, you know, being appropriate, knocked on our window and she's looking at me and I'm standing like, there.
Hey, what's happening?
I was like, flowers for you. And of course, like, all I saw was this like shock, this face of shock, like, wow, thanks. And I didn't even wait for a reaction. I was like, okay.
I probably would have run away also. What was his?
And as I'm telling him his, because I'm all happy and excited, I'm like, well, what was yours, baby? And then he brought me to tears because his was so much better than mine. Okay. His was the same girl that hurt his feelings. He said, I gave her a hug today. He said, I guess something had happened that day where I guess she got really upset or other kids were picking on her, or she got just really sad and upset. Yeah. And like he was explaining to her, or it was as a group, but he was part of that and said, you know, it's when you act like that, it makes us sad. And she, I guess, broke down and was talking about how nobody liked her and, you know, things like that. And he went up and gave her a hug and said, no, I'm your friend. And I like you. And I was like in tears. I'm like, yours is so much better because it was such, I was like, because it was such a big growing moment for him because he was in a stage where, and he has before where he wants to like carry these grudges, you know, if something bad happens, like I can never talk to him again.
Yeah.
And then on his own with no prompt, all I said was be nice to somebody. I wasn't talking about her or that situation or at all. Amazing. And that's what he chose. And that's what he told me about. Cause I just assumed he was going to tell me he gave his teacher a hug and, or drew her a picture or something like that. But that in that moment was beautiful. Oh, and he was like, so happy. And I was like, you win.
I know.
You win.
I know. I love those moments. So just to like recap, I think the biggest reason why I wanted to have this conversation was to let them like learn their own lessons, like to make sure that, you know, you're there and listening, being there and listening is a big deal. And, you know, pushing them to understand more, like open-ended questions about the situation, you know, pushing them to be a nice person to somebody like randomly, you know, like stuff like this where we can like teach them little things to like move them along, but also, you know, give them the freedom and not try to micromanage it all because it's good for them and they need it just like we did when we were kids, right?
It's to be there for them, you know, to make sure, of course, we want to still protect them and make sure they don't, you know, fall.
Yeah.
But if they do fall, you know, let them kind of scrape themselves off a little bit and try to get their bearings and then be there, of course, to kiss their boo-boos like we should as parents, you know.
I love that part. I love that part that mommy can fix it. It's like
exactly. It's one of my favorite. It only takes a band-aid and a kiss.
Yes, I know. A band-aid and a kiss. Well, I'm so excited that we got to talk today about this. I feel like I talk about this all the time and people need to need a reminder. Like they need a reminder that their kids are capable and that you're capable of steering them without being intense or like totally helicopter like I can sometimes be for sure. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, bye.
I'm so happy that Sheree and I got to sit down and chat today. I know that I'm one of those parents that really wants to like micromanage my kids, and that's not always what's best for them. A few of the things that we talked about today that I think are super important are as follows. Everything we go through is for a reason. You can teach your kids that they can choose how they feel and how they react. They might not get it at first, but they will eventually. Teach your children that other kids that may bully them could have pain themselves and to be aware of that. Remember, your kids need to control things also. Let them control the things. It really empowers them. Also, try to remember the lessons you learned as a kid without your parents. They were important, and so are the ones that they're learning now. Let your kids speak and actually listen to them. You might be surprised by the things they're telling you. It's not always going to go the way that you want, and that's totally okay. Check out Sheree Buckman at SheereeBuckman.com, and also be sure to join the free Facebook group, Moms Get It Done. I know we can do it all together.